Why have so many moved away from the hope of the gospel? I'm not talking about leaving the church. I'm not talking about, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about here is the hope of the gospel is what Paul preaches. And the truth of the gospel, he calls it. The hope of the gospel. It's the truth. It's the teachings from the risen Savior. Why is it people are not interested in that? Why are people getting further and further and further away from that? We know that the Bible, the King James Bible, is the only Bible that tells... That's probably the problem right there, but in many ways it is. We are told to follow Paul. We are told to follow his teachings and his doctrine and his ways. His ways are supposed to be taught in every church. We'll go over that here this morning sometime. We know that. We know that in 1792, the Great Commission got this full official start with a famous missionary. And mission fields, I think, since then have been, I'm not going to say the word flooded with miracles. I know God can do what God can do, but you look back at the many of the miracles that took place, and there are some miraculous things that took place on the mission field. There really are. But I guess I'll say that at this point, knowing what Paul preaches and teaches, and knowing what the Great Commission teaches, in order for that to be fulfilled, then there has to be signs and wonders and healings and miracles. And knowing that God doesn't do signs, healings, and miracles unless it's play with snakes and drink poisons and stuff like that. So because God doesn't do that, if that came across in mission fields and missionary work across this world in the last 200 or so years, then I have to say, it looks to me like it wasn't from God. Why would God allow that? Why would the devil make miracles and make everything look like everything's from God? Because if it's not from God, it will steer the entire world incorrectly away from... It'll steer him away from Paul's teachings. Does that make sense? That's a really hard statement. Very, very... it's been a couple hundred years that's been going on since 1792, 1892, 1992. We're almost 2092, it seems like, sometimes. So, if that great... You see what I'm saying? Think about that. Maybe that's another message someday. That whole mission program out there based on the Great Commission, deputation, and all the miracles and all the things that take place in the jungles of Timbuktu 3 and all that kind of stuff, is that really from God? I'm going to say that it wasn't in general because it promoted a false gospel. God does not prove himself through signs or miracles or healings. Now, who's going to listen to that one? Doesn't that make sense, though, with what Paul teaches? Wow. So, we looked at the fact in 2 Corinthians that it's the devil that blinds lost people lest they see the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ. That's the risen Savior. The devil does not want them to hear about the risen Savior's teachings or the risen Savior at all. We see that in Ephesians chapter 4, we saw that a Christian, who is actually a Christian, a true believer, circumcised and everything, could still not get this stuff because his understanding has been darkened. He's not, he's ignorant, the Bible says, and as a result, he's not going to see the obviousness of a rightly divided Bible because his mind is thinking like a lost person. You've got to think like a Christian. You've got to think like a risen Savior would want you to think. And he'll give you the thoughts, and he'll give you his faith in that Bible. So we know that. Then we went to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:18, and we saw the fact that Paul was hindered by the devil. Satan hindered him, Paul and his band that was going with him. He hindered him. So, obviously, what does the devil have to worry about mission programs? Nothing. If they're putting forth a great commission and miracles and signs and healings, and he's putting forth a program, a gospel, that is a false gospel if preached today, then the devil, why wouldn't the devil bless the mission fields that are out there with a false gospel? That's a hard thing to say. Yes, I'll say it again. God can do anything he wants. He can heal somebody. But he's not going to use some, according to his teaching, according to Paul, he's not going to use some guy to go someplace and create these miracles and do these healings and get people to believe in what? Another Jesus is what they're going to get. Now, that'll get me on the deputation trail. That'll give me $50 a month from every church in this nation preaching like that. That's a hard thing to say. But that has to be a conclusion based on Paul's teachings. So the devil is busy hindering Paul's work today, and he's just about done. You could even give devil doesn't even worry. I don't believe the devil is even all that concerned about a King James Bible believer guy. If he lost him over salvation, then he's still going to get his life all confused and messed up and miserable. If he keeps him from rightly dividing, go ahead, have a King James Bible. Just wrongly divide that thing. Preach the Great Commission. Preach Peter. Preach Hebrews. Preach James. Go to all that stuff. And we teach it. We did a 2-year series on the Old Testament. And we've done probably about a 10 or 15 week series on Hebrews through Jude. We still learn from it, but it's not applied to us. So we're not like the Gracers who say, forget the rest of the Bible. Just study Paul's things in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Study there, and that's it. No, we'll challenge people with Timothy and Titus and Thessalonians. We'll challenge people with 1st, 2nd Corinthians. There's a way to read that still properly. And we still read the rest of the Bible. So my point was that the reason people are moving away from the hope of the gospel doesn't have to be opinion. The scriptures are going to be very clear on that thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll get started here on scriptural reasons. These are the things the Bible says why somebody would ever move away from the hope of the gospel. I trust it's not my opinion. It might be my thoughts based on observations over the years, knowing what the scriptures say. But whatever, I'll do my best to keep that to a minimum, I suppose. Let's just see what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I want you to realize that my main goal this morning and tonight is for people to realize we don't know what's going on. I don't want you to think that I know what's going on. I don't want you to think that he came up with a very interesting sermon. No, I want you people to realize that this Bible will explain everything that goes on. Go ahead and ask me why such and such took place. I might not know, but I'll tell you what. It's in the Bible somewhere. I just don't know where it's at yet. But as far as the question of why so many people have moved away from church, no, from the hope of the gospel. We see in Hebrews chapter 4 how important this book is. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. We know that. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We know that. And of the joints and marrow. Because of that comma, we know that that's a backup to telling us why the spiritual circumcision takes place and what it does. But notice it doesn't say Bible, it says the Word of God. It just happens to be that the Word of God today is available in the Bible. That's the Bible, the Word of God. And it says there, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So this Bible can tell us why our thoughts, our heart, our intent on the inside, right now this morning, would be, are you tired of Paul? Are you tired of hearing about Paul? Are you going to move away from the hope of the gospel? Why would you do such a thing? Well, this Bible is going to tell us why this has taken place. It says in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's the Word of God. That's the Lord, of course, but in this 1 Corinthians 13:10, that Bible is the spiritual word. That's the Bible is the spiritual Christ. That's his words. You want to hear from Christ, you read your Bible. You want to hear what he says to you directly, you read Paul's books. He even rightly divided those. So here we go. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Here are a bunch. I mean, I got a whole string of them, a lot of them, really. Some will be quickly mentioned and some will park on a little bit, as they say. Acts chapter 13, verse 8. Here's why some people are moving away from the hope of the gospel. I don't think any of this will be new to you. No verses were added into your Bible overnight. But we'll look at some things maybe in a little bit brighter light. Acts chapter 13. Verse 6, we see where it talks about when they'd gone through the aisle into Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name is Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord. Here's a man who wanted to hear from the right people, Paul and Barnabas, tell me, like we would say today, tell me what the risen Christ would say to me. Somebody walks up to you and you're in a crowd of people, or got a couple other people with you, or this guy has a friend with you, and you try to tell him about Paul, and the guy goes, boy, I've never heard of that before. That's very interesting. And what do you know is going to probably happen in verse 8? But Elymas the sorcerer, for for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So what's my point here? Point here is why are some people moved away from the hope of the gospel? Because they've got somebody trying to get them to do it. Here's the guy that Paul and Barnabas are talking with, and this person who's with him is doing everything he can to get that guy out of there so he doesn't have to hear that. Do you know that there are people out there that do not want you to grow as a Christian? They do not want you to get more modest. They do not want you to quiet down. They do not, especially do not want the men to step up to the plate and say and do and change things within the home or within their personal life or even at the workplace if they possibly can for their own testimony. Are you miserable at work? There's people that want you to stay miserable at work because you're such a lousy testimony to God. Here's one reason. There are people who want to turn you away from the truth. You're talking to somebody out there that hasn't heard this before, you can bet somebody's going to say, oh, no, don't listen to that, don't listen to that. He's a hyper. He's going to tell you that you got to ignore the rest of your Bible. He's going to tell you that this, and he's going to tell you that, and he's going to tell you this, and he's going to tell you that. And before you know it, you don't know what to talk about, so you've been turned away. And that happens all the time. And it's frustrating. Because, no, we're not a hyper. I know that doesn't even probably mean anything to most of you, but it's those overdoers. Too much grace. What do you mean, too much grace? Too much Paul, not too much Paul. They say too much Paul. Too much dispensationally teaching. Too much of that stuff. No, not at all. We don't fight about where the Bible began. We don't knock down the King James Bible. We believe the King James Bible is the Word of Truth. We don't go with grace 100%, the fact that you can do anything you want. Because we're told not to. But it has nothing to do. We have no law, so we're no law. There's no transgression. So what's the problem? That makes us a hyper? No, we're not a hyper. It's gotten to be in the last 10, 15 years. If you just tell somebody you follow Paul, instantly there's people out there that go, "Oh, stay away from you." That's just the way it is. Many people have told people that they've turned people away by misunderstanding or not getting it themselves. So. You know that one. That's nothing new there. We've got people that are going to they're deceivers, deceiving and being deceived, going to wax worse and worse. What does that mean? There's going to be more people going to tell somebody that's around you, no, you don't want what they have. They follow Paul. They don't follow Jesus. They kind of act like Paul is their savior, not Jesus. That's what they tell people. I've heard people tell them that. Where'd your pastor go to school? How many people do they have in their church? How many people really? If it's so grand and joyful, where is everybody? That's what they'll say. Well, you never thought about that. The church, you'd think the church would be huge if people. If that's true, God would bless it because they're being told by somebody who believes that gain is godliness. Because there is no gain, then it's not right. King James Bible. They believe in the King James Bible only. There's 500 different Bibles out there. And I'll tell you what, the scholars today have got every means of knowledge available to them. And they put all this stuff together. You don't need to just go to a King James Bible only church. They're bitter, unhappy, grumpy people anyway, which in lots of cases is true. Very prideful people. Their kids are horrible because they think God is somehow going to just raise them for them. Yeah, kind of a thing. All sorts of reasons that people go out there and try to turn away from the King James Bible. You're a pastor guy. Here, give me some reasons not to listen to this guy. How about you? Here's some reasons not to pay any attention to that guy handing out the tracts in the store. He goes to that church down there in Tushy. Oh, don't go to that church down there in Tushy. And then you got people out there trying to turn people away from what Paul has to say. Risen Savior? What do you mean the risen Savior? That stuff is the same to everybody. The Jews, Gentiles, everybody. No, it's not. But they got people telling him that. And I'll tell you what, if you go to that church, they don't even tell you that you have to tithe. And the pastor, he doesn't even, let's go to this church. You go to that church and the pastor puts the big guilt trip on you. Oh, I love. Oh, thank you. I'm such a bad person. And the people over there think they don't even sin over there anymore. No, we don't say that at all. Christ has taken care of sin, but there's still sin that's in us. He didn't get rid of sin. He got rid of the law. Sin is still there. But he separated us from the... What? What are you talking about? That's weird. You guys are from the moon or something to talk about God's going to cut your soul away from your flesh? Why doesn't your flesh just fall onto the ground? Well, that's a good question, other than the fact that he says that the Spirit is our life now. And when he takes us out of our flesh, you know what's going to happen? it is going to crash and just, there it is. So, you guys are nuts. That's what you got to have people telling people. So there's a bunch of people out there turning others away. Okay, there's one. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse. I could talk about that one for a long time. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Let's get into the different reasons, though. More explanations. Romans 1, 17. Here we go. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And is that not what we're living by? Faith? Yes, we have a Bible that's physical, but that Bible is not a normal physical book. That is a spiritual book. God wrote that Bible, and He preserved it to this day. And if that isn't the truth, then the whole thing is just a joke. But we won't laugh at the end. So we have people that don't want to live by faith. They just can't live by faith. Look at Galatians chapter 3. They just can't go by faith. It's not in them anymore. I shouldn't even say anymore. They just can't figure that God would be that kind of a God, that He would do that. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" Okay, "This would only I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And they would say, "Oh, by the hearing of faith. I've trusted the Savior, Jesus Christ as my Savior." Sure I have. Okay, "Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" I mean, this is a tough line for me to draw. I never ever, in my early preaching years, ever thought I would preach the walk. You know, the do right stuff. I never thought I'd deal with that, because we just can't, so if we can't, let's just not preach it. When we die, we're going to be judged on the good stuff, and the bad stuff's going to burn up, so why make a big thing about it? Until I realized that rightly dividing, then you realize what Paul says, then you realize that, well, hey, we're dead to the law, so that's not an issue, we're no longer under the law. But then here's all this stuff in Timothy and Titus that we're still supposed to do to please God. So it's very easy for me to park on that stuff when you know what's going on in people's lives, you know what's going on in your own life, you know what's going on in the website people out there, and yet you know that Christ has done to us regarding sin that's in there and cuts us away from all that stuff, knowing that we ought to still be better Christian, and there's what it says. And so about a couple number of years ago, you preached that and you figured, well, that'll do it. We now understand it. And yet to this day, we still struggle and fight over the things that are taught to us in Timothy and Titus. To this very day, people will stand in front of me and go, "I'm not going to do that. I don't believe that." No, they are going to go there. They are going to do this. I'm going to wear this. I don't care. It's just like, hey, it's not me. It's Him. It's the Bible that we're fighting against. We don't want to go by faith. Why should I do this? I don't know. Just go by faith. It pleases God. Why does it please God? I don't know, but it pleases Him. He's not an earthly God. He doesn't care about this and that. Yes, He does. So, there are people that will turn away from this hope of the gospel because they just can't handle faith and still do right. And still learn to do right. Try to learn to do right. And if a person gets up there and preaches about the works, after a while, they just quit. They will move away from the gospel. Look at Galatians chapter 5. I think I just read that. No, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Well, okay. "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Okay, Pastor, there you are. Quit preaching about this. Quit preaching about that. Because you're putting me back in bondage. I don't want to do that. And that's all I keep preaching about. You're hammering on me. You're hammering on my family. Hey, listen. Back off. You're putting me under bondage. No, I'm not. I'm just reminding you and reminding you and reminding you that what some of the things that we all do here as a church family does not please God. That's it. So, some folks, don't stand here and tell me I can take anything, I can preach, go ahead and preach anything. Listen, don't stand there and say, hey, it's the message, not the messenger. If you get mad at the messenger for preaching what Paul says to preach. Right? How about at least one amen a month? Let's do it today. That's right. That's what it's supposed to be. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Classic verse. for by grace are ye saved. But see, we're not talking about salvation here. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, then it goes right on and it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what we're supposed to, that's what we've been created to do. We have been created now. We are a new creature. And He's given us the things to do in Timothy and Titus and the rest of His books. Okay, so back off and relax. Look at Romans chapter 10. I'll save it for a couple of weeks. Romans chapter 10, verse 2. We know these first four verses. Here we go, first four verses. Verse 2. If I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God. Okay, so you submit yourself unto the righteousness of God for your salvation. Why can we not submit ourselves? I'm guilty, you're guilty, this is what we're preaching here. Why can we not submit ourselves under what God teaches is still His righteousness according to the risen Savior? We should submit ourselves to Titus chapter 2. We should submit ourselves to Timothy. Ladies, guys, we should be preparing our children for what God says an adult should be. Guys, girls, we should submit ourselves to that. Not in this world, it's not reality. Where does it say that? It doesn't say that. But anyway. Anyway. Look at Romans chapter 3. Let's see what I got there. I forgot what I got for notes here. I forgot to write them down. Romans chapter 3, verse 8. Romans chapter 3, verse 8. Why do I have that one? Well, let's look. I'll see if I can make a sermon out of this. I have no idea where that... Okay. That's not why I got that one. Let us do evil that good may come. I guess that's doing wrong to do right. I guess that's... I don't remember even thinking about that. They're all under sin, so forget that one. Must have just typed in the last night while I was sleeping. Let's go to Colossians 1:23. Let's go to another one now. So, first of all, we've got people trying to steer us away from the truth. Number two is you've got people that just can't live by faith. They got to go by works somehow. It just kills them to go by works, to go by faith. You can't do it. Yeah, we're supposed to. But the works are still not rejected and ignored. Okay, number three. And we already know this verse, Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Okay, well, why would somebody move away according to those verses? Well, it's obvious somebody's not grounded and settled. Right? I mean, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, why would somebody move away from the hope of the gospel? They're not grounded. They're not settled. They haven't got this stuff nailed down. Look at Colossians chapter 2. We've been over this twice. I'm going to do it again because... this is a little series, little verses that I got the other day when I was not in the mood to write a sermon. We looked at some stuff and he still showed me these things as I was writing, and it was really exciting for me. We see in Colossians chapter 7, it says right there, rooted and built up, chapter 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, which is what we're supposed to be, and established in the faith as ye have been taught. That's Paul. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. See, if we're grounded and settled, we're thankful because we know we have it. Why would the kids be thankful for a toy if they weren't sure it was theirs? Why would anybody be thankful for something if you don't know it's yours? You're not sure. Why would we be thankful for what Christ has done for us if we don't know what He's done for us? But if we hear what it is that He has done for us and to us, and we got that thing settled because that's King James Bible, rightly divided, not a problem, then we are rooted, we are settled. You can't steer me away from that teaching. I don't care what happens here, what crashes, what crumbles, what burns, what everybody says, what the townspeople say, whatever. I know what Christ did for me. And I know what I'm trying to do as a pastor. I know what we're trying to do here as a church. But I am rooted and settled on what Paul, we need to be following Paul. What Paul preaches and teaches. Okay? If that's the case, in Romans 7 it says, I'm thankful for that. Because I know I got it. But I also said Wednesday night, and I think last Sunday, You go up to verse 4, right before this thing, we have to be careful that we're not beguiled with enticing words. Well, how can you be beguiled if you're thankful? How can you be beguiled if you're so thankful that you know it's yours? You can't be beguiled. You can't be tricked. Then right after that Thanksgiving verse, we have verse 8, where it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." How can they do that if you are rooted and settled and you're thankful? You won't fall for the world's way. You know why sometimes we fall for the way of the world? We don't quite believe that what Paul says is really what he means. I'm not quite sure what Pastor's saying, so because we don't understand this stuff, I'm not even sure Pastor himself is such a good man. And you get these doubts floating around and these things going on. You know what you're capable of doing? You're capable of turning away from the hope of the gospel. Because you're not rooted and settled. You know, because your rooting and settling is not based on your works. Do you know that your rooting and settling is not based on this church? This church will crumble someday. More of you folks might get mad and quit. More of you folks we're all going to die if the Lord doesn't come back. And I don't see a lineup of young, youthful blood coming into this place to keep this place going. So if you're rooted and settled on this church, you're in for a big disappointment. If you're rooted and settled based on me, you're in for a big disappointment. If your church, if your hope is rooted and settled on each other, we already know by now that's stupid. We already know it. Listen, we already know that. You know? No, if our roots and our settlement is based on Paul only, and you've actually read them, instead of just listening to me yak about them, you've actually read them, and it's, you're getting it more and more and more. Here's a guy, he's a German, 2 years he's checking this stuff out, and he's hearing other people coming after him trying to get him away from that stuff, and 2 years later, you know why he's stuck with us? Because of me? Because of our richness we have in our building? Because we have a nice old building? No, because it's Paul, and he sees that. He even had the Gracers go after him. And you can see that those Gracers are too gracy. Yeah, God's grace covers it all. Yes, it does. But we still have to try to do right. Somewhere in our life, we've got to grow to try to do things right. And I want to stay away from the poison that's being preached to me. This guy was able to get this without us, other than the Scriptures that are there. So he's getting rooted and settled. And near what I've learned as a garden pro here, yard expert, a landscaping artist, that would be me, that some of the stuff that's out in that yard has been growing for a couple of years, those roots are pretty deep. But I know that in a couple more years, those roots are going to be deeper. There's not a plant out there, I don't think, probably is, what do I know, for being a landscape artist. There's probably not a plant out there that the roots are going to stop. Okay, we're fine. Near as I can, don't they all just keep growing? Don't roots keep going? Don't say, if that's not true, then don't tell me. There's probably a plant, or there's always an exception, where a plant grows about 3 inches, stops, and then it, well, yeah, a sunflower. Here we go, sunflower. Grows down a little bit, got this 20-foot Jack and the Beanstalk thing here, and you're going to yank this thing up, poof, it comes right out, and the roots are about right there. That's probably the kind of Christians we have today. Tall, pretty, good-looking, and they really impress people. One little yank, and they're gone, kind of a thing. So I guess I won't go into that service, kind of a thing. But anyway. Look at Ephesians 3:17. We're looking at grounded and settled. If you're settled in why you dress the way you dress, why you talk the way you talk, or why you don't talk the way you don't talk, or if you're grounded and settled that you can keep those evil communication machines turned off, or you can actually control them, and when the stuff comes on, you turn it off. If you're that strong and you're rooted and settled, then you won't fall for the junk that they're trying to throw at you. Some guy's going to come along and try to steer you away. He can't steer you away because you're rooted and settled in Paul's teachings, in the risen Savior, King James Bible. You're settled. Now it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, there it is, rooted and grounded. So yeah, we're still talking about Christ, who we're rooted and grounded in, and with and by, of course. But you wouldn't have him if you didn't have Paul. Look at Galatians chapter 1. I'm just reviewing stuff I remember. It's such a good book. We go back to Galatians chapter 1 again, which I've done 3 or 4 times lately. Such a good verse. Talks about Paul in verse 12 that he says he received what he's received of man, not of man, and neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. What was it that was revealed to Paul? Look at verse 16. His son was revealed to Paul. God's son was revealed to Paul. You know that we wouldn't know about the risen Savior if it wasn't for Paul? I mean, these people out there who hate Paul and don't think we need to study the Paul's teachings, that kind of a thing, they wouldn't know about the risen Savior if it wasn't for Paul. They wouldn't even know a thing about God if it wasn't for a King James Bible. That NIV Bible was not here 200 years ago. The ASV was not here 200 years ago. That King James Bible has been around for almost 400 years, and they wouldn't know a single thing about God or anything if it wasn't for that King James Bible. So they wouldn't know a single thing about the risen Savior other than prophecy, Old Testament, and what He said in the Gospels. But they wouldn't know that all came true if it wasn't for Paul. So yes, the risen Savior was revealed to Paul. And then he says, to preach Him among the heathen. So, if anybody moves away, it's because you're not rooted with the risen Savior through Paul in a rightly divided King James Bible. That's why they leave. Look at Ephesians. We've been that verse. Toss to and fro, we know that verse. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We know that verse. They're not settled at all. Look at Romans chapter 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Here is probably becoming one of my gripes. One of. And I shouldn't say the word gripes because it sounds judgmental then. Here's one of probably the most difficult things that we try to deal with here. And to preaching to different people out there. Somebody comes along and tries to steer somebody away from hearing about Paul. And it's because of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. People are not doing this today. They are not hearing the Word of God. I had somebody send the two street preachers in Ohio that are getting this stuff really well. Somebody sent to them a whole series of verses on why Hebrews and Jude was to a Gentile, was to the Christians today. And they sent this to me at midnight. What day was this? I think this was Thursday, I think it was. At midnight, Jason sends me this thing. So I started reading through this thing. I can't believe it. Like I'm up at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. I try to call Jason. This stuff is so baloney. And yet this stuff was handed to one of his friends who thinks it's all right. If you read the thing as it states, sounds fine. But if you've read your Bible, it's a pack of lies. So, I just remember, wait a minute, I got something like that on their website. Here, this guy has like 4 pages of facts out of Hebrews to Jude that is to the Gentiles. I sent him 16 pages, identical design, of why it's to the Jews. And I read through some of this guy's, some of his statements. See, to me, that was like sending a nuclear bomb after some little firecracker. But see, this guy out there that has not read his Bible will believe the firecracker before he believes the nuke. Why? Because the nuke comes without a preacher. That set of stuff I sent to them, there's the verses. You read them. And the one over here, this little firecracker, comes by a guy who thinks he's the nuke. So this guy, who doesn't understand his Bible yet, he can't tell the difference between A and B, so he'll listen to the guy who you're impressed with and scared of because he talks so confident, that kind of stuff, and you'll believe that. He's never read his Bible. So my point is this. Why do people turn away from the hope of the gospel? Because they don't read their Bibles. I believe to this day now that one of the difficulties we have in showing people what Paul says is people, A, have not read their Bible. They just haven't read it. And B, I'm sorry to say this, more and more people can't read their Bible. They can't. There are so many people, and I'm not judging or hurting, but there are so many people I'm learning that they can read a verse and they are happy to get done reading the verse. They can't. They really are not capable of seeing the three little points that are in there, outline those things in a little mind as they're reading, and you miss the verse totally. I think the devil's done a good job with our reading skills in America, and people cannot get anything out of their Bible. That's a, to me, that is hugely sad. Or whatever you would say. So they got to trust their preacher. Well, you know where that's going to go. So that's a big deal. So this guy that was given those notes sends those to Kenny and Jason. Hey, this is good stuff. No, it's not. In fact, the first thing I went to, Hebrews chapter 6, lose your salvation, right? Was the first place to go. And what does this guy say? This is a difficult verse. I can't understand this verse. I still need to study this some more. Okay, excuse me, teacher. Can I tell you what that verse means? That's telling a Jew during the tribulation that if they take the mark, they can lose their salvation and they will not get it back. That's not to a Christian. Because we can't lose our salvation, according to Paul. And teacher, if anything's against what Paul teaches, this guy is accursed. You're cursed for teaching that. You, out. That's what would happen. So, people cannot read their Bibles and decipher a false teaching compared to what Paul's taught. I know they don't. They're too busy. But a lot of them can't. And that's sad. That's a sad thing. Okay. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We're still looking at this thing about why would they move away, he said, in their faith, grounded and settled. Well, a lot of people aren't grounded and settled. That says, or what ye have heard, a lot of people haven't heard it. And Paul even says, it's preached every creature which is under heaven. I find that interesting because I've never preached to an earwig yet. I let that little creature die before I hear in the gospel every time I see one. Have you ever stepped on a bug and before you do it? Now, wait a minute, Mr. Bug. Can I tell you? No, he's talking about creatures that have the soul. So anyway, that's just one of those things. Then if you watch, what's that movie? Pollyanna. That guy's out there preaching to the trees, to the cows or something, practicing a sermon to the cows or trees or something like that. Disney stuff. Then the lady comes along, runs to church, and the whole... It's just like, oh, shoo whiz. How many have seen Pollyanna? Anybody seen Pollyanna? Isn't that right? This guy starts out to... Bunny Trail, official Bunny Trail. This guy starts out to be a hard preacher. Remember him? His name is Carl Malden, too, I think. Not that that matters. Especially now, because you know Carl Malden is a believer now? And he died about a week ago. Now he knows what the truth is. But anyway, there's this hardcore preacher, and he needs money for the church because he needs some stuff for a hospital or something like that, what the deal was. And the lady comes along and tells him to back off on his preaching. And so he backs off on his preaching to get all the money they need. Let's just talk to our little kids with Disney. Disney. Whew. Anyway, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Why we're moving away? Well, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be... Well, this is easy. Why would people move away from that? Well, it looks to me like they haven't learned, they haven't received, they haven't heard, and they haven't seen. Now, how are they going to learn if nobody teaches them? How are they going to receive it if nobody gives it to them? How are they going to hear it if it's not preached to them? And how are they going to see what Paul's done in his life if they don't read about what Paul does in his life? That's why people are going away. Okay, number four. Colossians chapter 2. There's another one. Colossians chapter 2. Buried with him, verse 12. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. We don't spend much time on this thing, but I'll tell you right there why some people are going away from the hope of the gospel. They're trusting in the wrong baptism. Now, we don't have to make this into a long baptism sermon here this morning, but Paul says they need one baptism, and it's a spiritual baptism. There's no water baptism for salvation. Well, we know that. Yeah, but I don't believe there's water baptism after salvation either. John the Baptist teaching for remission of the sins. That's all that was. So, yeah, but Paul baptized. Yeah, Paul baptized. One time we hear about Paul baptizing, he still had to lay his hands on him to get the Spirit of God into him. So that's not the example we can use. But see, here's the problem. How many have read that? How many believe in the different Baptist teachings that have been taught to them because they show them a verse in the Bible, but they've never read through the whole thing of the Gospels and Paul to see that there's a difference between the Gospels and Paul. Paul says his way is the what? Way of God what? More perfectly. Doesn't mean that this is wrong. This was to the Jews. Now we learn even more that now here's the rest of the story for the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. And baptism's not included. It's a spiritual baptism, not a water one. So you got people that are, they already throw you out because they think, that, fine, if you want to be baptized, go be baptized. You want the Lord's Supper? Go home and do it. It's fine. You think you need to wear a beanie for ladies to have a head covering? Wear one. I'm not going to stop you. Nobody's going to care if you want to come in here whatever they call things. Just a head covering. If you think you need to put away that beautiful, gorgeous hair, put it away. Because you should. You don't need to be walking around, parading around, showing all the guys out there that your glory and all that kind of stuff. But that's just a physical thing. I can understand why that would take place. But don't do it for spiritual reasons. But if you want to do it for spiritual reasons, you know what? Go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you. But just don't ask me about it. So we got people that are trusting in the wrong things because what's the bottom line? They still haven't read their Bible yet. LD, how many times have you read it? 53. You'll get it pretty soon. And you get something new every time. Now here's another one. I'm sorry, this is going to be another crash on us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Why are some people moving away from Paul's teachings, from the risen Savior, from the hope of the gospel? Here we go. Another bang, I suppose. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. How are we doing on time? Maybe we'll kind of... Boy, this is a week's worth of stuff now instead of just a Sunday morning and Sunday night. Talking too much. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I heard the amens on that come across the website. Not even anybody here. First, and the kids are going, oh, Grandpa, are you just about done pretty soon? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Here we go. Why are people moving away from the hope of the gospel? Here we go. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These people not only said the right thing, their lives changed. They saw that they had turned to God from idols, and they're serving the living and true God, which is the risen Savior, according to Paul's teachings. And they got a hold of this stuff. And it says right there, we didn't even need to say anything. These people saw this. So why would somebody move away from the hope of the gospel in your little circle, or my little circle? Maybe it's because they haven't seen us turn to God from idols yet. Yeah, that's what that is. That's how many of us have got it together yet? Well, it's the culture out west. No, it's not. It may show the Northwestern culture as godless, never has been godly, but that's not our excuse. We know what the truth is. We know what He wants us to turn from, and we know who we're supposed to turn to, the risen and living Savior. We know how, by looking at Paul's teachings and fighting the flesh in the battle all the time, because even Paul had to fight that. But if people have not seen a change, as he says there, as you turn from God, from idols to God, and you're serving the living and true God, that means you tell somebody, why don't you do this? Because I don't believe it pleases the Lord. That's all. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and wear that. I can care less. Go ahead and go there. I know it's hot. But I'm not going to do that because I believe it doesn't please my God, the living Savior. Whatever, however you want to put that thing. And if people haven't seen that after a while, you know what they're going to do? They're going to move away from the hope of the gospel because you have no testimony of the hope of the gospel. With our lady in California having the glaucoma problems and now the dental problems and intense pain that she's in, two different places and all the body problems and things that are going on there, and yet her testimony is one, she has a hope of the gospel. She understands the Paul thing. She knows what's going on with her flesh. And she knows what's going to take place when she's out of here. She knows that. So all that put together is she's still got a good testimony. And yet there's most family members aren't interested. Well, why not? Probably a thousand other reasons. But that won't be one of them. She's living, trusting her Savior, even though she has these physical problems. There are many of us who want to trust the risen Savior to keep us from these physical problems. I understand that's not going to happen. Unless you just die with a heart thing or whatever, which is kind of my mode of transportation I'm praying for. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're looking at the fact that number 4 is their faith wasn't worth sounding out. So it was a bad testimony. It was a folly to them. I realize the Great Commission is a folly, but Paul is not folly. If people are not seeing us change, then to them, Paul's teaching is a folly. And it shouldn't be. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now when Timotheus, there's Timothy, when Timotheus came from you unto us, so he's been out there and he's seen these people, he's coming back, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us. So here's Timothy, he goes out to these people, and he finds out that these people have a strong faith and charity. They've remembered what Paul, these people, have taught to them, and they have a great desire to see them again. So in other words, there are people out there, in here, I hope in here, that have read Paul, and you remember what you've read, because you've changed your life somewhat, if not a lot, and you're anxious to read more of Paul. You know, there are people that should be willing to come here, because they remember what was preached, and it was encouraging, or it changed their lives somehow because the Word of God was preached, and they desire greatly to come back and hear more preaching out of the Word of God, because you're going to hear from Paul. That's the way it should be. And what is that? That's good tidings of their faith. Timothy came back. You know, and I remember Timothy now. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy? So, boy, I tell you, there's some stuff in Timothy. Ranks right up there with Titus chapter 2. So here's the guy that was told what he was told. You following me? And he goes over and sees these people, knowing what he knows and what he was taught by Paul, and he comes back with a good report. Do you understand that? He goes to these people and he sees that what he's been taught, he must see them doing that so he can go back with a good report. This is Timothy. That would be like, in the opposite fact, it's like asking me, a musician, to go to a rock concert and come back and report to my principal. Oh, let me tell you about my pastor, or something, my principal, my pastor. Or I'm going to go to a Mozart or a Handel or something like that, and I understand the progressions, you know, right, Olivia, all this kind of stuff. See, we're learning this stuff. Quit eating right now, just listen. And you'll know this stuff. And you'll be able to recognize that. And you come home from a little get-together at somebody's little house or birthday party or something, and mom's going to right off the bat ask, what kind of music did they play? And you're going to give a good report or a bad report. Because, see, you know. So you've got this programmed in that little blonde mind of yours, and you go to this thing, and you come back. Boy, mom, they played some really good music there. You can do that. So here's Timothy. He goes out to this thing, and he comes back with a good report, good tidings of their faith. Maybe the reason people in our little circles are moving away from the hope of the gospel, because when they hear what they hear, and then they hang around us, and they go, whoa, that's not the same thing what I've been hearing. Must not be real. Gone. Another reason right there. He said, look at 1 Timothy 4:15. 1 Timothy 4:15. I said the other day that charity. Sometimes we give charity too often, too long. And I said that it's going to come back and bite us. And I had one of the men out on the website write back, and made a good comment. I never thought of it that way. But we can hide our weaknesses under charity. He made a really good preaching point. that we go ahead and allow something because we're weak and we're afraid to fight it. So we allow it. He said, that's not charity. That's just being a weak parent. That was a good little sermon he wrote me. That was Jeff down there in Colorado Springs. Good point. Same thing right here. We want to have faith. They need to see it as well. Not preach like James does. It's not our salvation issue. 1 Timothy 4:15 says this, meditate upon these things. Now go back and read those things if you want. Give thyself wholly to them. If you're going to do Paul, let's do Paul. If you're not going to do Paul, then tell us. Then we won't worry about you. I won't get so upset. If you want to do the Great Commission, do the Great Commission. You won't be able to, but go ahead and give it a shot. You'll be miserable. You'll come to the church you go to. You'll be up at the altar all the time because you mean well. You want to do right. You'll have you feeling horrible every week. You'll have to give more money to make up for it and all this kind of stuff. But if you're going to live Paul what Paul preaches, then give yourself wholly to it. And then he says that by profiting, there is to be a profit in this. Not money, obviously. Not gain, physical gain, obviously. But we're going to grow as a Christian. And they'll see that, and it'll appear to all, it says right there. So, the point number four is the fact that some people are turning away from the hope of the gospel because our faith isn't going out. It's not worth going out there. Yeah, but it's a fight, and it's a battle. Right. Of course it is. Paul says it will be. But if you stand up and take the hit, and I'm not one to talk about this because there's plenty of hits coming, stand up and take those hits for what's right. That's what you need to do. That's what people will see. Let's go to number five. We've got a couple more minutes. Let's go to number five. Let's review. Reviews are always good. What are scriptural reasons why people are turning away from the gospel, from the hope of the gospel? There are others who try to turn them away. There are those who just can't live by faith. They've got to have the works thing. It's just their law to them. You've got those that are not grounded and settled. They're being tossed to and fro. They're not hearing about it anyway. Nobody's teaching it to them. Nobody's showing it to them. That kind of a thing. And then they're trusting in the wrong baptism, which to me makes them an unsaved person, if it's a water baptism for salvation. And then we see here that their testimony is one that it wasn't true and people leave. Number five. Here we go. Number five. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. This is a quick one, which I think you're looking forward to. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Isn't that a strange thing from Paul to say? Because Paul wants, he knows the terror of God, the fear of the Lord, so the terror of the Lord, and he wants people to get saved. He wants people to get saved because he knows what hell is going to be all about, lake of fire. He knows this. And yet it says right there that he wants to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Pray for him. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray for each other in this church that we stay away from unreasonable and wicked men. Well, it's like he's breaking down the lost, right? I mean, you want to tell lost people about the truth about the Savior. So these guys go out into the streets and they want to tell people about Jesus Christ. And now two of them, Jason and Kenny, are starting to realize that they need to teach them about the goodness of God and all the things that Christ has done. Spiritual circumcision they're talking about on the streets. And people are saying, boy, we've never heard this stuff before. We don't believe it, but we've never heard this stuff before. Tell me more about it. And they're thrilled. These guys are having a great time telling people about it. But unreasonable and wicked men, Paul wants to stay away from. Why? All men have not faith. For all men have not faith. Not everybody understands this stuff. And Paul, we know from Paul's writings, that he will go talk to anybody. How many times? He'll talk to them for days if they'll listen. But if they won't listen, he gives them a second shot and he's gone. So, Paul says, listen, unreasonable. You ever talk to somebody who's unreasonable? And don't look over at your husband or wife. Just in general. Or your kids. Kids, don't look up at your parents. Unreasonable. I heard that. Caitlin, I heard you say that about Daddy. Sometimes he's just unreasonable. He doesn't understand. He's not a little girl. No. But you can't get this stuff across to an unreasonable person. So don't. or somebody who's wicked. Listen, a lost person wicked? Ah, there's lost people, and then there's lost people, and then there's really lost people. And then there's bottom of the scum of lost people. Now that scumbag at the bottom can get saved just as much as the best of the bad guys at the top. But Paul does say, be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. But maybe one of the reasons people are turning away from the hope of the gospel is because they're hanging around unreasonable and wicked men. And those men have no faith. And they're going to rub off on you eventually. I just remember one class in South Dakota. It was a good class. A Christian teacher, good teacher, good lady teacher, and really had a pretty good class. And then one kid came into that class, and it wasn't days, and that kid has destroyed that class. Just takes one kid. Now, you would think 29,000 kids that are pretty good kids could straighten out this one little kid. No, this one little kid changed all 29,000 kids in that classroom. So, unreasonable and wicked men that have no faith, can drag your people, your friends, your family, away from the hope of the gospel. That's another one. I think we'll stop there. I got another month's worth of stuff right here. No more sermons to write for a month. We'll just do some more tonight. We won't get them all in. Oh, I forgot. You have a Bible. You can read these things too. Oh, fun. My job just got so much easier. LD, don't let that affect the check, though. Yeah, you can. You know what? You can listen. These notes are even online. You can go home and type in this thing, and you can come up with, I got the sermon for tonight. I don't need to listen to him tell me. Still, send your money in anyway. Stay home and send us your money. Whatever. We're doing this for the money, you know, right, LD? There we are. Extra last week's bills? Yes, we are. But that's okay. We'll break, we'll stand, we'll dismiss, come back tonight if you want. Hey, if you don't want to come back tonight, come back anyway. Remember, the devil does not want Paul's teachings to go forth. Bottom line.